Will you pray with me? God of stars and signs and wonders, of wonderful acts of mercy and great acts of faithfulness, you are the light of the world. You are our light. And we bless you that you have come among us in Jesus, and we thank you for the invitation to listen to him and follow. For this word about your word, we are grateful. Never let us use our reason against your truth, but make it so that your light shines in each and every one of us, we pray. Amen. If you have been paying any attention at all in recent days to the coverage of the Winter Olympic Games, you probably have already heard by now of the controversy and scandal involving the women's figure skating competition. A 15-year-old representing the Russian Olympic Committee who tested positive for banned substances some months ago, and it wasn't exactly reported on time, skating in part of the team competition before anybody knew, and then, you know, an official court giving her permission to continue to compete despite having been found with substances that aren't supposed to be a part of her system. You may have seen earlier this last week when she skated in the short program as the commentators acknowledged that she was skating but shouldn't have been and tried not to say a word about it other than this is Kamila Valieva skating her short program and then trying very much not to say another word other than making sure everybody knew she shouldn't be skating. Cringeworthy moments, even for those of us who are separated not only by many miles, but it's on television. But cringeworthy, we know, for all the athletes, all the commentators, all the people at the Olympic Games, the spectators, the sponsors, the government agencies, all of us watching from afar. Cringeworthy knowing that it's a 15-year-old, a minor. And open questions about whether or not she is fully in charge of the substances that end up in her body by choice or whether the adults are manipulating her, the adults who apparently defending and justifying what happened in case she might win, but surely setting her up for failure should she not. You may have tuned in late this last week to see her skate again and watch as she crumbled in front of everyone the world over. Not just cringeworthy now, some folks even called it child abuse. It's surely disappointing. What should be a celebration for all of us, that amazing athletic ability turns once again into cringeworthiness, making us all uncomfortable. It's not too surprising. We've been this road before. We know that such intense, prideful, nationalistic competition is supposed to bring out our best selves. But as is so often the case, the fear of the agony of defeat often leads us to meet our worst selves instead. Our Reformed theology would remind us that the human condition is indeed marred by depravity, deep depravity. And turpitude, moral turpitude, and much inherent baseness. We human beings are just bad sometimes. And today's gospel lesson is perhaps good at reminding us of this. It's cringeworthy too, but for somewhat different reasons. There's an old saying that change is like sin, and we don't like much sinning going on around here. So when Jesus drags out this list of exhortations, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also, from anyone who steals your coat, don't bother to give them your shirt also. Most of the time we feel called to take up for the sin fighting. Especially because we hear Jesus proposing this kind of newfangled living that just doesn't sound right to our ears or our own experience. and we want no part of it. Oh, it may sound nice, a perfect world, love, bless, pray, offer the other cheek, but just look at what people are getting away with. No, we say kindly, no, thank you. We've got no use for that kind of sinning around here. We'll just not stand for it. Now, surely by now you know to expect that what Jesus has to say is more than just a sermon. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that Jesus again is offering us revelation here. Jesus is continuing to reveal for us a God who is supremely loving and merciful. And as I tried to describe a little bit for us last Sunday, what Jesus holds out for us seems to be both a call and a promise, welded together, two sides of the same coin. So that while we may cringe or resist or fail to understand how acting the way Jesus suggests could ever work for us in the way that our world is, Jesus is also busy bringing it into being among us. Directly among us, forthwith. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38 is a continuation of last week's reading in which Jesus came down from the mountain with a group of apostles that he had just chosen out of a larger group of disciples. He's then standing amongst those apostles in the midst of another group of disciples who had gathered on the seashore to listen and be healed. And with them, there's a whole other group of folks, or two groups of folks. One group that comes from Jerusalem and all Judea, and the other comes from faraway places like Tyre and Sidon that are Gentile territory. So you've got Jews and Gentiles and perhaps all the world in this crowd of people. And now, before God and in the midst of all those peoples, Jesus is essentially laying forth this groundwork of the promises of the kingdom of God as a lifestyle for us of loving and doing good and blessing and praying and turning the other cheek and not withholding our shirt and doing unto others as we would want them to do unto us. So don't judge, don't condemn, just forgive and forgive and forgive. And I bet you've already arrived at this very conclusion that commentator Robert Darden does, that the life Jesus is describing is not easy. In fact, I'd say it asks a lot. For all of us, it asks a lot more than we're prepared to give, frankly. I don't know about you. I shouldn't speak for you, but for example, I am not ready to forgive and love all of my enemies. Some, maybe, on better days, but not all of them. I am not willing to just allow someone to slap me in the face and then turn around and ask them to do it again. I am not wanting people to steal my coat so that I have to give up my shirt too, or to have people take other things of mine without asking, or to abuse me, or any of those other things, right? Don't you feel that way too? I don't want to diss Jesus. But what he's describing just works real hard against my grain. It rubs me the wrong way, and I don't need Jesus to be right about this. Sorry, Jesus, I'm just not ready. There are rules and decorum and things we should expect, and we shouldn't be asked to be so abused, right? But Jesus doesn't need me or doesn't need us to feel good about it. Or to offer our permission, I'm convinced that Jesus is just busy making this kind of life so for us. He's like Captain Picard from Star Trek, who gives the order and says, make it so, or engage, or get on with it, make it happen. In a way, Jesus is saying to us, make this happen. Hard as it is. That's the cringeworthy part, right? But in a way, Jesus is also saying that we're not the ones who are really going to be successful in making it happen, that Jesus is going to somehow make it happen for us. Remember that earlier sermon where Jesus says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," as if nobody had to do anything. It was just going to be true. And then Jesus said to those fishermen, "From now on you'll be catching people." Not really a choice or a request, a declaration. Or last week when power came out of Jesus and healed everybody in those crowds, all of them, of illness or unclean spirits, it didn't matter. This kind of performative language. Jesus is making this happen. It's not a kind of blind ultimatum. Jesus is not saying to us, "Do this, because if you don't, or if you fail, or if you're not very good at it, or whatever, if you can't do it, you'll just end up in hell." Jesus is suggesting for us that this is happening. The world is moving in this direction, and we should move with it. Jesus is reminding us that we're to be living in a world that is defined by being merciful just as God is merciful. And not because it's the right choice that we have made, or because we have mastered making this choice, or because we will always be willing or good at making this choice. Jesus just says this is the way that it's going to be. It is, as I said a few moments ago, both a call and a promise. Two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. A world that both hearkens us to itself like Jesus is irresistible, but also a world that is being created for us and with us and includes us. And just like Jesus, who heals all those crowds of people and casts out all their unclean spirits that inhabited them, even if we think we're not capable of these teachings and illustrations, even when we resist them, whether out of fear or because it just doesn't make common sense, Jesus still stands ready to make it so. As I sometimes like to say, Jesus still stands ready to make it so whether we like it or not. God wins. Jesus changes us, and by changing us, Jesus changes the world. You still may not think you can. I'm not sure I always think that I am able all the time. You may not want to. It is cringeworthy loving those who have not treated us in the best way. It is difficult living this kind of cringeworthy life, loving enemies, doing good to haters, blessing those who curse us, praying for those who've abused us, letting people slap your face again and again, letting people take your coat and then giving them your shirt too, or stealing your big screen television so you can't watch the Daytona 500 this afternoon. Doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. The old saying is there are no free lunches in life. Well, there are if you buy somebody else's lunch. They get it for free. Doing unto others. But it's all cringeworthy. Because not everybody's going to do it. Or play by the rules. But the truth is, we can do it because Jesus says we can. Resistance is futile. Few people are very successful at resisting Jesus for very long. God wins. Love wins. That's our story. And if you're not hearing God's call, then take the cotton out of your ears and listen again. because grace and love and mercy and forgiveness and freedom are for you too. Jesus has the word and he is giving it. So let him heal you and let him tell you and let him make it so for you. A call and a promise and cringeworthy behavior to perform. Blessed be the Lord. Amen.